faithful. Amen. Wonderful. You know, heaven's going to be wonderful, isn't it? And I appreciate that song because with all the Lord is going to give us there, he's going to outshine all of it. Amen. I want you to turn your Bible to Judges 13. Going back in the Old Testament tonight, Judges 13. We're going to begin in verse number 2. And I want to preach on this thought tonight, the fear of being miserable. That's a good one, isn't it? We should have a fear of being miserable, right? And I think if we would, it would motivate us to do some things different. I think some people are not happy unless they're miserable, right? Now, that sounds crazy, but there's some people, it's like they have no peace or contentment unless they focus on everything that's wrong and that they're miserable. Here's the problem. We all go through trials. We all go through tribulation, and it's our countenance that a lot of people judge the Lord Jesus on. And so in Judges chapter 13, you know the story of Samson. Now I want you to look, first of all, really look at verse 1, then we'll start in verse 2. The Bible said, "The children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. So there it is, God's people did evil, right? Wasn't the first time, wasn't the last time. He delivered them into bondage, the Bible said, for 40 years. Now, if we stop there, we'd say, man, that didn't seem right. God's people, they messed up. God put them in bondage. But I want you to see the plan of God. The Bible said, and there was a certain man, in verse 2, of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, behold, now thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Notice verse 4, now therefore beware. All right, God's saying, watch out, right? I pray thee, drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing, for lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head. Notice this, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb. And what's it say? And he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. So verse 1, God puts them in bondage for their own good, right? But while he's doing that, he's already preparing someone to deliver them out of bondage. And the Bible said in verse 6, then the woman came and told her husband, saying, a man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God, very terrible. But I asked him not whence he was, neither told me me his name. But he said unto me, behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and now drink no wine nor strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. Then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, O my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again unto us and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. And so this idea of being miserable wasn't Samson's parents, was it? I mean, you look at their life and they're wanting to serve God. But there's something about Samson that never set right with him. You see that? We won't go through the whole story, but you'll see where, of course, in chapter 14, the Bible said he went down to Timnath, saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now, we also know that the Bible tells us that was in the plan of God. He also went down and in verses 5, went down and his father and mother to Timnath and came to the vineyards of Timnath, And behold, a young lion roared against him. The Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid. And he had nothing in his hand, but he told not his father or his mother what he had done. Notice this, he went down, talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson. After a time, he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. And behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. He took thereof in his hands and went on eating and came to his father and mother. And he gave them, and they did eat, but he told not them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. Go on to verse 16. The Bible said, then went Samson to Gaza, and saw there a harlot, and went in unto her. So you see the life of Samson, something was not pleasant to him about serving God. I mean, we know in verse number 5, the Bible said that God had a plan for his life and had set some restrictions on him, but he couldn't see the plan of God. He couldn't see the blessing of God. He always focused on the restriction. And so one of the most common reasons lost people don't want to get saved is because of what they think they will have to give up. When you talk to someone, they'll say, well, if I give this up, then, or if I got saved, I'd have to give this up, and I like alcohol too much, I like to party too much, I like women too, whatever it is, they've got their reason they don't want to get saved, right? They don't want to give it up. And sometimes it isn't that they don't ever want to give it up or get saved, it's that they don't want it right now. In other words, right now I want to sow my wild oats, I want to enjoy life, and one day I'll serve God, but not right now. And maybe that was Samson's case. I don't think we have a clear picture of that. But possibly one of the reasons they believe this is because they see how miserable people who say they're saved are. I mean, let's be honest. We complain quite a bit. We focus on the negative, right? And we all have trials. Maybe it's because they see in our life that we're miserable. And so they're thinking, well, why do I want to give up this lifestyle? And now we're in a day, Brother Jerry, where, let's be honest, the world has infiltrated the church, and we're saying, well, we don't want to be different than they are, because if we're different, then they won't come to church. And so the fact is, why do they want God when we're acting the exact same way they're acting? Why do they want God when we go through the same trials they go through, yet there's no difference in our life, no joy, no peace? And so we ought to have this fear of being miserable, and it's not that we avoid serving God, it's we realize that it's only through God's presence and peace that we can enjoy and have joy for the journey. So much of this misery is because we're just not fully committed to God. We want to go to heaven, but we don't really want to give our lives over to the Lord 100%. I mean, we like the idea of one day heaven, and as she sang about, Jesus will outshine them all, and I can't wait for the mansions, and I can't wait to be reunited with loved ones. But we don't really want to be committed to the cause of Christ here. And it's been said, and I 100% agree with this, the most miserable person is someone who is saved but not living for God. I mean, a lost man, he doesn't care. I mean, he's pretty happy because he's enjoying sin, right? And the Bible tells us it's pleasurable for a season. And someone who is fully committed to God is not focusing on all of this. They're focusing on praising God and their commitment to God. But that person who's kind of in the middle, right? And we see that in Revelation chapter 3. God's talking about the church, that Laodicean church. They're neither hot nor cold, right? They're in the middle. And that's where a lot of Christians are, just in the middle. I don't want to be too on fire for God, right? But I don't want to consider myself just ice cold for God. I'm just right there in the middle. And that's why most are so miserable. They don't want to give it up, Brother Johnny. I can't give up the world. I can't give up my lifestyle. I can't give up the pleasurable side of life. But I also want to kind of keep my foot in the door and kind of play the game. And I want to go to heaven, but I just, that's where Samson was. God had placed a commitment on his life. In other words, he had a plan for him. And here it is, Samson, who God is saying, listen, I don't want him drinking wine, strong drink. I don't want him touching unclean things. And here he is, it wasn't good enough for him. That's where a lot of Christians are tonight. Maybe where you are tonight. And so it wasn't because his life was filled with trial after trial. I mean, as you look at the life of Samson, up until his eyes were gouged out, right, and he was thrown in prison, he had a pretty good life. It was just that it didn't seem as attractive to serve God. And so it was because he would not embrace God's will for his life. And so here's what I want to ask you. Why was Samson so miserable? Why are Christians so miserable? Well, I think we see it in the life of Samson. A couple things I'll share with you. Number one is because of godly exclusions. In verses 2 through 5, God placed some exclusions in the life of Samson's parents, and then they, in turn, placed some exclusions in the life of Samson. The Bible said in verse 3, the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold, now thou art barren, and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive. Now, therefore, beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb. And notice this, he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hands of the Philistines. So God told Samson's parents, he told the mom, said, listen, you don't drink wine or strong drink, don't eat any unclean thing. And that very same standard, right, that very same standard is going to apply to your son. We don't like that word, do we? Standard. This was God's word. This was not her opinion. This was not up for debate. This is what God told her to do. And so we focus on what we have to give up. We focus on what we got to give up. I mean, just we go all the way over here to chapter 14 and we look. And my question would be this. If Samson and his family were not to drink strong drink or wine, you'll notice here in verse 5, then went Samson down and his father and his mother to Timnath and came to the what? Vineyards. You don't have to be an agriculturist to figure out vineyards. You know what you produce in a vineyard? Grapes. Now you say, well, is that a sin to be in a vineyard? I'll say this. The Bible said abstain from all appearance of evil, so if I wasn't going to drink wine, I think I'd stay out of the place where you get wine. But also, notice here, he killed that lion, right? And after a time, he returned to take her. He took, in verse 9, took thereof in his hand and went on eating and came to his father and mother. He gave them, they did eat, but he told not them that he had taken the honey out of the what? Carcass of the lion. Again, I'm not real smart, but when I see that he killed a lion and it has a carcass, that means it's what? Dead. Now, he ate the honey out of what? The dead animal. Now, you can nitpick and say, well, that's not really eating dead carcass. Well, I don't know if you've ever been around a dead carcass, but what's in that carcass is going to ooze out on what's in the carcass. And so we focus on what we have to give up for our own good. God tells us to stay away from some things. Satan keeps these things in front of us. And we see the temporary pleasure and focus on what we don't have. God said, here's all the good stuff I'm going to give you. We saw it in the Garden of Eden. God said, all these trees you can eat of, not that one. And you know what Satan did? Why won't he let you eat of that one? That's the best one, right? All the rest of them, good. This one, no. Satan's went, that one. That's the one you won't eat. That's the one. Why would God do this to you? God is blessing them. I don't know how many trees were in the garden, but it's probably more than one. So they had all this bounty of what they could eat, but they focused on what they couldn't. Do we not do the same thing? God sent all this I'm over here blessing you with, and Satan said, yeah, but what about this? God said, here's the bounty, here's all the blessings, we're almost at Thanksgiving, and we'll take a couple days and say, I just want to thank God for my family, and thank God for my church, and thank God for my job, and about Christmas time, you know what we're doing? I'm so depressed. Christmas is so depressing to me. We lose the focus of the blessings of God, and we focus instead on what we have to give up to serve God. I mean, is Jim Beam better than God? I mean, waking up, not knowing where you've been at, doing stupid stuff. Ladies, I'm talking to you, going on a ladies' retreat. Say amen there. See, we focus on what we give up. Then we forget what we gain. So God doesn't tell us to give something up, not give us something in return. And what we gain in following the Lord is greater than the temporary pleasure we give up. So to gain anything in life, we have to give up something. If you ever watch any of these shows, right? These, you got to purge your closet out, right? Here's what they say. Before you go buy a new article of clothing, you should do what? Get rid of one. I think that ought to be a law. Right? Before you go buy a new one, You ought to get rid of one. Throw one out, right? Well, you know what we focus on? We focus on what we have to throw out, right? We don't focus on what we're bringing in. And so to gain in anything in life, we got to give something up. Listen, if you want to, I was talking to a friend of mine this week. So, as a matter of fact, saw him today at the bank. He's 64. He's telling me all of his health issues. And, I mean, just Brother Jimmy, just over and over, all this stuff. And he said, I tell you what I need to do. He said, I need to get in shape. All right. 100%, man. But to get in shape, he's probably going to have to give up this, right, to get this. If you want to have, watch this. If you want to have, this is deep financial stuff I'm going to talk about right here. To have some money in the bank, you're going to have to give up spending it. Right? That's deep. You're going to have to quit going to Chick-fil-A three times a day and say, I'm going to take me a sandwich, eat that thing, and the $7 I'm going to spend on my I'm going to put that in the bank. Right. Got to give up the deep fried chicken, eat some Jif and Welch on some bread, then you got some stuff in the bank. So if having that money in the bank's not worth eating a sandwich, you're probably not going to have the money in the bank. You see what I'm saying? You got to give this up to have this. And in order to really enjoy the blessings of God, we got to get some stuff out of our life before we'll enjoy the good stuff. And so we focus on what we give up, we forget what we gain, and then we fear missing out. What if I do that, Brother Tim, and I miss out on some stuff? What if I get saved, start serving God as a teenager, but then I miss out on my 20s and college and the party lifestyle, and I can start serve God later? You can. Doesn't mean you will. You can, but it doesn't mean you're going to live long enough to do that. Amen? So we want what is better, but we don't want to miss out on what is, Satan saying, is better. He's saying this is better than this, right? We miss out on the pain and regret, but Satan's saying it's fun and pleasurable. So Samson was miserable because, again, God said, okay, Samson's mom and dad, here's what you do. You've got to put some barriers around your life. And then when your child is born, you have to do the same to them. So Samson, maybe he had some buddies, and their mom and dad didn't have the same convictions that Samson's mom and dad did. But they also didn't have the calling Samson had on his life. So because of godly exclusions, but then also because of godly examples. Look at verse 6 in chapter 13. The Bible said, then, so the man of God, the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman, said unto her, behold, now thou art barren, thou bearest not. And he goes on to tell her she's going to have a child, and here's what you got to do, here's what I expect of him. Then verse 6, the Bible said, then the woman came and told her husband, saying, a man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God, very terrible. But I asked him not whence he was, neither told me his name. But he said unto me, behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and now drink no wine nor strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. Notice verse 8, then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, O my Lord, let the man of God, which thou didst send, come again unto us, and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. So, Samson grew up in a home of a mom and dad that loved the Lord and wanted to do what was right. Can we agree there? So, these parents, here's what they were. They were open to the Word of God. Now again, she was barren, and the Word of God told her she was going to have a child. In other words, they believed God's Word. She didn't go home and say, now listen, you're not going to believe this story, but here's what happened, and I don't think I believe it. No, she believed it. And then when her husband heard the words, he believed it, right? And so they obeyed God's Word. Do you hear that word? Obeyed. Not question, not partial obedience. They did what God asked them to do. They may not be the cool parents, but you know what they were? They were godly parents. Parents, may I say this? You may not be the cool parents, but you ought to be the godly parents. Amen? Not only those godly examples were open to the Word of God, they were also open to the will of God. They were willing to let God use their son. Now, here she is. Imagine, we know the story of Hannah, how she was barren. Now we see John the Baptist's parents. Elizabeth was barren. Every time it seems like, Brother Jimmy, as we see in the Bible, that a woman is barren and God gives her a child, he says, okay, I've got a special plan for that child. And every time the parents are willing to give that child up to the will of God. And so here they were willing to let God use their son. Now, they didn't, doesn't see where they asked God a lot of questions about it. He said, I'm going to give you a child. You're barren. We'll give you a child. He's going to be a Nazarite. Sounds good to me. Can't cut his hair. Can't drink wine. Can't eat unclean things. Doesn't sound like, to me, that does not sound unreasonable. I'd have a problem with a haircut because I like my hair cut, right? But then they said, he said, here's the thing. This child shall be a Nazarite, and the calling on his life is that he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hands of the Philistines. Now, God didn't explain it all to him and said, here's how I'm going to do it. He just said, I'm going to use him for this. And as you study the Word of God, you see that he killed more Philistines in his death than he did when he lived. Now, I don't know about you as a parent. God knew all that, did he not? I don't know if he showed them what his plan was, if they might not agree to it. But you and I as parents, if we're gonna submit to the will of God, it may not just be for our life, it may be for our kids' life. Maybe that God doesn't want them growing up and being 2 miles from you and living right beside you. Maybe that he does want them on the other side of the world. It may be that he does want to use them for his will somewhere else. So they tried to train him for the will of God. They didn't train him to be a lawyer. They didn't listen to me. They didn't train him to be a doctor. They didn't train him to be an engineer. They found out what God's will for Samson's life was, and they were training him to do that very thing. So they were open to the will of God, but then they were open to the ways of God. Well, look at verse 8. The Bible said, then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, oh, my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again unto us and do what? Teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. They didn't read Dr. Spock. They didn't read the online chat room. They didn't go to some group. You know what they did? They said, we want the man of God, and we want him to tell us how to raise our child. We want him to explain to us the Word of God, God's way to raise this child. Now, here's what I'll say. Ready? I'll talk to people that say, well, I raised my kid in church. So what? Did you raise them according to the Bible, or did you just take them to church? There's a difference. I raised them in church. That's what I did. Brought them to church every time. Great. There's nothing wrong with that. You should. But did you raise them according to the Bible? Because these parents said, we want the man of God to tell us what you want, God. We want to raise him the way you want us to raise him. Now, teach us what we shall do. They knew they needed help. May I say, if you're a parent, you don't think you need help in this generation, you're blind. Matter of fact, if you talk to my generation's parents, they probably felt the same way. So all the way back, we go all the way back to the book of Judges in the Old Testament, and Samson's parents said, you know what, God, we need some help here. We can't figure this thing out on our own. You know what? Why we don't want God's help? Because we're proud and we think we can do it on our own. We end up making a mess out of our kids' life because we won't do it God's way. But listen to what I'm saying, all right? Parents, don't beat yourself up. Because you can do it all the right way. Things still turn out bad. You don't believe it? Manoah and his wife sought the Lord, said, teach us how to raise this kid up. And as soon as Samson got out of the house, you know what he did? Whatever he wanted to do. Am I right? So Samson was miserable because here he is. He didn't have the cool parents, right? He had the godly parents. And Brother Eddie, they may not have been as hard on him as they should have. Matter of fact, as I read the story, what he needed probably was a whipping. Can you say that? Yeah, whipping. Whooping. But it seemed like when Brother Justin, when Samson went out and did what he wanted to, Mom and Dad kind of went along with it, didn't he? So Samson thought, man, I can just go a little farther, a little farther, a little farther. Before long, you know what he's doing? He's hooked up with Delilah. I can hear it now. I know, Mom and Dad, you don't like her. I know you think she's bad for me, but I love her. She's wonderful. She was, till she betrayed him. Brother Johnny, he was so love struck, you would think, as you read it, you're going after the first time she deceived him, you think he'd go, hey, something's wrong here. No, you know what he did? He just kept on. And part of that was his pride. He thought, man, all I got to do, I got my hair, I got God's power and strength, and then when God's power left, he didn't even know it. So Samson, I think, was miserable because he had godly examples in his life. Then thirdly, I think Samson was miserable because he had some godly expectations on his life. Go back to verse number 5. It's interesting. So the Lord told her, thou shalt conceive and bear a son. She was probably going, man, that's awesome. They told me I couldn't have children. Man, it's a miracle of God. Hallelujah. Then he goes on. No razor shall come on his head. I can go with that, right? For the child shall be a Nazarite. I'm still with you, God. He shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hands of the Philistines. Okay. See, Mom and Dad didn't mind the expectation. They sure don't look like Samson liked it. I mean, you would think, when Mom and Dad told Samson, listen, God, you're here because God gave you to us, and he has got a purpose with your life that nobody else has. You are the only one that can do this, right? You think Samson go, boy, that's something amazing. God would do that for me. I think I'm just, what I need to do to please God. That's what you think, right? But listen to what I'm saying. Every person sitting here tonight, including me, including Brother Jimmy, that's what God did for you. You were born with a specific purpose that God has for your life, right? And so in this godly expectation is the plan of God. God has a plan for the life of Samson. He has a plan for me. He has a plan for you. God had a very specific plan for Samson to begin to deliver Israel. That was what he was born for. He wasn't born to make $1 million. He wasn't born to be a titan of industry. He wasn't born to be a star athlete. He wasn't born for any of that. He was born for this one thing. And so here's what we have to understand. If God gave us life for a specific purpose, if we're not doing that very thing that God wants us to do, we're in disobedience to him. And I believe that a lot of people in Christianity are miserable because they've never sought God's will for their life. They've tried to engage God in their life and said, God, I want to do what I want to do, but I want your blessing upon it, right? So Samson is to begin to deliver Israel, and that was what he was born for, but it wasn't what Samson wanted. Samson wanted Delilah. Samson wanted to party. Samson wanted to have a good time. Listen, may I say that there are Christians all over the world today, there's some sitting in our church, they're miserable, and they blame everything. They blame the world. They blame circumstance. They blame everybody. But they can't understand that they've never sought God's will for their life to say, God, what is it that you put me on this earth to do? And they're miserable, and they're blaming everybody else instead of just looking in the mirror, going to God and say, God, what is it you want me to do? If you'll show me, I'll do it. And that was Samson. He didn't have a passion for God. He should have been excited God would use him. But he was rebellious because it wasn't what he wanted. He just took the power of God and the presence of God for granted, didn't he? Thought he could live any way he wanted to, do anything he wanted to, and then when he just, hey, I'll just go out like times before. And he didn't even know that the Spirit of God wasn't on him. There ought to be a fear in us of being miserable. But that fear does not come with what the world has to offer. It comes with finding the plan of God for your life. And saying, God, I know what you expect of me. And I want to do what you want me to do for the glory of God. Samson killed more people in his death than he did in his life. Now you look at all the sin he was involved with. When he was captured, eyes poked out of his head in prison. See, that's what Satan does to us. He gives you this vision of all these great things, but it's really bondage. So Samson figured it out finally, but it was too late. See, a lot of us, let's be honest, we figure it out too late. We live our whole life miserable because we don't have a new car, new house, whatever it is, new job. Everything makes us miserable. So here's what the world tells you. Hey, you don't like that car? Go get you a new one. For a little while, you know what? Man, that thing's driving good. Man, it's nice. It's a whole lot nicer than the one I had. Not long. Get a scratch on that thing, ain't new anymore, right? I gotta have me a new TV. One you got now is 4,000 inches. Yeah, but this one's got 4K. I don't even know what it is now. Mine's probably a half a K. I don't know what a K is. Crystal clear. You go into Best Buy, they got them up on the wall. I went in there the other day. I looked at that thing. I said, man, that's like you're looking through a window. But here, you know what's interesting? Every time you go, Brother Jimmy, you look on the floor, they got boxes of TVs lined up. Because they got the new ones on the wall, don't they? They're trying to get rid of the 2Ks and 4Ks. And so they mark them down. Most of us don't know what a K is. Got to have that new one. Man, I got to have me a new house. This one I got's too small, right? I mean, every kid don't have their own room. We only got one living room. Only got two-car garage. Where we going to put the toys at? Huh? You get in that house? I remember I used to play golf over at Meadowlands. I'd go in the day. I never saw anybody at home. You know why? Everybody's working to pay for that house. I'm so tired of this job. Oh. Brother Jazz talked, me and Ellen were talking the other night. I don't remember who it was. She said, got a new job. I said, how do they like it? Oh, they love it. I said, everybody likes it about the first 2 weeks. Because all you do is go through training, right? Then you get in there, oh, this is wonderful. 6 months later, you know what you figure out? Just a job. Then when you figure out what God's will is for your life, and you realize you have a purpose, God put you here for a reason. All the other stuff, your job, your car, your house, God allowed you to have it for His glory so you could use it for Him. All of a sudden, as I'm doing what God's called me to do, I'm not miserable. Because when you have that hole in you, and Satan said, boy, if you just get you that new TV, computer, car, house, gun, golf club, pocketbook, clothes, shoes, whatever. If you just get it, it'll make you feel better. It does, doesn't it? Till you get out of the parking lot on the way home. You go, what have I done? What have I done? And that high from getting it wears off. You're like, fear of being miserable. If we really feared it, you know what we'd do? We'd get on our face and say, God, you show me what you want, what your purpose for my life is, and I'll live the rest of my days trying to please you. And it's amazing how much joy you'll have just trying to please God. Let's stand together. Let's bow our heads tonight.